Why is the bond market a shadow of its former self? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news just now that the German parliament has approved giving Greece new money to keep it afloat. The rest of Europe has been moving ahead on this, but some German politicians were especially leery of the $95 billion Greek aid package. The BBC's Dominic Lurie is following this for us.
It isn't surprising that the vote has passed because the German finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, who had been pretty antagonistic to prior Greek attempts to get bailout funds, he's much more friendly towards Athens this time round because he thinks that the Greek government has been making big steps to try to reform its economy. So it did have the backing of the German government. One thing that's worth looking for today is what happens in Holland. The Dutch prime minister is under pressure because he had said in 2012 that there'd be no new money for Greece. And one of the opposition MPs in Holland, Geert Wilders, says that he will table a vote of no confidence in the Dutch Prime Minister, Mark Rutte. So it's passed in Germany, but we wait to see what happens in Holland and the rest of the parliaments in the Eurozone.
BBC business reporter Dominic Lurie in London there. Let's check some numbers. The FT 100 index in London is down 0.75%. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. After the awful Tuesday, the key index in Shanghai regained at least some, closing up 1.6% today. Vietnam today devalued the dong, its currency, as more countries react to China's yuan devaluation 10 days ago. In the U.S., Starbucks doesn't want to be just coffee and scones. The massive chain is gradually rolling out an evening menu, including beer, wine, and small plates. After 4 p.m., there's truffle mac and cheese, bacon-wrapped dates, and alcohol. As of this week, some 70 locations have the stuff. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at why Starbucks wants to become a bar.
Starbucks already has the caffeine to rev you up in the mornings. Now they want to help you wind down later in the day, says John Stasik, who covers Starbucks for Argus Research. He says this may be about getting people into the stores during the slower evening hours.
After dinner starts to tail off and people avoid caffeine, so they stay away from their local Starbucks late at night.
But ask Starbucks customers if they want wine at their coffee shop, and people are divided.
Why not serve wine?
Nicole Thomas already goes to Starbucks.
Oh, at least twice a day.
So she's on board with the booze. Very on board.
Definitely.
If she just wanted to work on her laptop or was waiting to meet friends after work, no brainer. But no way, says Jennifer Chen. Four shots of espresso, yes. The Italian Prosecco, the Californian Chardonnay.
Yeah, no. There's so many other bars in the city.
Starbucks says the rollout will continue at select locations only, so not every Starbucks will become a bar. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
These days, the bond market is a kind of early Woody Allen quality in an entity racked with self-doubt. A new Bank of America Merrill Lynch analysis finds the biggest divergence between the especially nervous bond market and the calmer stock market at any time since the beginning of the last financial crisis, when the worries were about stocks and bonds ruled. I feel the need to consult our Marketplace resident explainer, Patty Hirsch. Hello, Patty.
Hi, David.
One thing is the bond market suffers because interest rates are low and investors feel they can make more on the stock market. But there's more to that. What are the terms that often guide some of this, Patty? I think it's liquidity and volatility.
That's absolutely right. So liquidity first, right? Essentially, the bond market right now is suffering from a case of indigestion. Right. Companies are issuing lots of new bonds, so the market is eating well, if you like, but those bonds aren't trading very much. The internal organs of the bond market aren't working. So when trades do happen, instead of the smooth incremental movements in prices that happen when all is well, you get these dramatic swings in price.
Swings. Volatility.
Volatility, exactly.
So what's causing this indigestion in your extended metaphor?
A couple of things. Firstly, many investors have stopped buying bonds because they're waiting for interest rates to rise.
Yeah, why buy a bond that yields, I don't know, 1% when you're expecting, with action from the Federal Reserve, et cetera, new bonds that will yield 1.5% if you just wait a bit.
Exactly. And there's this other more systemic reason, which is that the Dodd-Frank regulations that require banks to hold more capital on their books for any loans that they make. So, you know, when you buy a bond, you're effectively making a loan to someone. So any trader that buys a bond has to put some money aside according to those rules. And all that money does is act as a security cushion. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't make any money. So that means that banks who want to do a lot of bond trading could actually end up losing money.
Now, I hear regulators are worried about some big banks cutting back on their bond business as a result of all this.
Yeah, I mean, that's already happening, which is why we're seeing the market getting a little bit constipated, to stick with this metaphor. Many of those big banks act as market makers, right, which means that they guarantee to buy or sell bonds if anybody wants to trade. And it's that guarantee that keeps things liquid and smooth in the market. You know, there's always someone to trade with. And the more market makers that there are, the smoother things get. But if banks slow or stop that market-making work, then trading slows down too, and that can be a real problem, especially for people who want to get rid of their bonds before they lose too much value.
Now, you know, some people are saying it's time to get out of bonds. Of course, they said that a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and the year that followed proved them wrong. But, you know, it's an edgy moment right now.
It is, and a lot of big bond managers appear to believe it's time to trim exposures. And, you know, I read recently that bond funds are now holding about 8% of their assets in cash, which may not sound that much, but it is actually the highest level since 1999.
Patty Hirsch is the host of our online video explainer series, The Whiteboard. Patty, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Once upon a time, James Carville, the sharp-tongued advisor to Bill Clinton, said that if he were ever to be reincarnated, he'd want to come back as the bond market. Why? Because the bond market at the time could intimidate anybody. How times have changed. The 10-year Treasury yield today is down at 2.19%. The 2-year yield is up at 0.722. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.